This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It is every night. The countdown is on, the clock is ticking, and more polls predicting doom and gloom for Donald Trump. Also, the fallout from England and the decision to forego the union with the EU. As we do each and every night in a few moments, we'll talk with our pals, hopefully from Talk Media News, as they join us from Washington, D.C., because we know what happens inside the Beltway affects all of us and is part of the buzz in the backyard. We'll hear what John Kerry, the Secretary of State, had to say, being on the ground in conversations with Brussels, etc. Also, again, more reaction to Donald Trump lately, some of the comments that he made about immigration and Muslims have changed. There was a trip to Scotland, and there's more money being dropped into his coffers, and still officially Bernie Sanders not completely saying that he is done, he is out of it, just saying, you know, he would support Hillary Clinton. There's been that hypothetical floating around. All right, he is in the Beltway, inside the Beltway anyway, in Washington, D.C., Justin Duckham from Talk Media News. Hey, Justin, you know, just a couple of weeks we're going to be talking about major conventions, so I'm assuming you're kind of like a bear. Are you hibernating when you can and getting some extra sleep?
A little bit, but it's actually coming down a lot closer to me. I'm going down there a little bit early for the Rules Committee for the Republican convention, which means I'm going to be out there the week before. So my hibernation time is running low, but I am planning on taking a good chunk of time off once that's complete.
All right, so that's a good thing to explain for everybody listening. We got people listening in all the nooks and crannies across the U.S. in every sector. So talk about the Rules Committee and why this is so significant.
Yeah, I mean, usually this is not really anything that matters too much, but there is some concern that essentially the Rules Committee will be the sort of arena where the anti-Trump faction sort of poses their challenge against him. There is some concern that perhaps they could essentially tweak the rules going into this to ensure that there could be some kind of parliamentary procedure to unbind the delegates, to free them, to let them vote however they want, or some other kind of shenanigans. And this is something that we've seen them do previously. Back in 2012, there were some shifts for following conventions, essentially saying that you had to reach a certain threshold, primarily aimed at ensuring that somebody like Ron Paul would not win. But this time, however, the eyes are certainly on Trump. So if there is sort of a long-shot challenge, which is, frankly appearing less and less likely at this point, that's exactly where it would take place. And, you have to remember that this is sort of a party. They make their rules. And, if enough people are sort of angered, or if a lot of these sort of movements pick up steam, it could change things. Some of the other things would be Trump continuing to decline in the polls and whatnot. That, of course, would trigger probably a civil war within the party. There are some pretty vocal voices calling for that.
Yeah. What about John Kerry, the Secretary of State, and his trip and talking about the UK and they're still a strong ally and the fact that they're, with Brexit, it's global champions. There has to be a lot of concern about the EU.
Well, no, there certainly is. And essentially the administration line is, this is not the result that we wanted, but we are respecting the result that's been sort of trotted out time and time again, along with assurances from the U.S. that essentially the Brexit is going to not really affect the very special relationship that's shared between the UK and the US. But this also kind of counters just the basic economic facts on the ground. President Barack Obama said this pretty clearly when he was back in the UK visiting the royal family or whatnot, I believe back in April. He pointed out essentially, look, if you guys make new trade deals now that you're away, if you guys leave the EU, you are essentially going to be put in a place of weakness where we are not going to come to you first if we're going to make big trade, agreements. We're going to be putting you essentially in the back of the queue when it comes to the sort of the, you know, U.S. economic policy, and that was sort of the parting shot that Obama opened up with. That hasn't really changed, but nevertheless, this is, you know, them some putting some pretty easy pressure, putting forward, essentially saying you have to do this in a way that's, you know, in tune with the global economy, and sort of reminding them that, you know, again, this is not something the U.S. wanted to see.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, the abortion ruling was huge. There was a lot of reaction coming out of Texas, and you would assume that this is going to be something that will be discussed on the campaign trail. You know, it's interesting, but there were some big headlines today about this. What was the reaction from D.C.?
You know, interestingly enough, this has not become a campaign issue yet, and to a large part that's because Donald Trump just has not responded to it. You know, for somebody who's willing to essentially wade into, you know, every political argument under the sun, he has been pretty muted about this. And that's largely because, you know, if this comes up, this essentially brings up the specter of him saying that he would be open to punishing women for receiving abortion, something that he backtracked on about 3 or 4 times. But, yeah, pretty huge news regardless. This was obviously applauded by quite a few Democratic lawmakers. You know, this is essentially the law that was initially, you know, in the headlines after Wendy Davis posed her, you know, large filibuster against it. This is something that, you know, has been coming from a long time. It essentially says that what was going on in Texas was creating an undue burden on the states. They were not able, in the form of the plaintiffs, to point to, or defendants rather, to point to any situations wherein women's lives would actually be saved, and it just kind of was interpreted as essentially just a way to essentially defund clinics that provide abortion and just essentially harm them for performing a constitutional right, something that the court was not willing to stand by. So, you know, a lot of jubilation coming from Democrats, but, you know, virtual silence coming from the Trump camp.
Yeah, the last thing, Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton appearing together, there's a lot of speculation as to who her running mate is going to be. Any chance it's Elizabeth Warren?
No, I think that still is a pretty good chance. It comes with some pretty big risks, however. You know, obviously she's not very well liked by Wall Street, which poses sort of a fundraising, you know, conundrum for a lot of Democrats. She's somebody who, when she was on the campaign trail in 2012, or somebody who was trying to help shape the Democratic message, had a number of missteps. The whole "you didn't build that" line that Republicans seized on was actually an Elizabeth Warren invention. But this does come with a lot of benefits as well. Obviously, there's a pretty big schism in the party right now, and you know, Elizabeth Warren would help sort of mend the you know, kind of bad feelings between Clinton supporters and Bernie Sanders supporters and whatnot. Hopefully, bring more of them into the fold, and just sort of in more of an immediate, you know, sense, having her on the stage, having her getting a lot of public attention, essentially robs Bernie Sanders of a lot of his leverage going into the convention, and kind of takes the spotlight away from him among progressives, which I'm sure is probably a strategic move at the Clinton level as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Justin Duckham, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So good stuff from Justin talking about the Rules Committee, why that's significant, and then the speculation over what the Clinton folks are doing as far as all of a sudden you see Elizabeth Warren on the campaign trail. I mean, she's one of the names that's thrown up there against the spaghetti wall, like who would be the VP for Hillary Clinton. But it seems so unlikely, and as he said, a risk. Trump's people saying there is not a shift on the Muslim ban. We'll talk about that next, plus hear what John Kerry had to say about Brexit on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams. Been haunted by a million screams. I could hear the marching feet. They're moving into the street. Did you read the news?
Good friends are important all of the time, but they are especially important in complex times. And I want to make it clear that at this moment of challenge, the United States of America knows it could not ask for a better friend and ally than the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that's all fine and good. The Secretary of State, John Kerry, this is on the heels of Brexit. The S&P stripped the UK of the last top-notch credit rating after Brexit. So what does that mean? You know, the ratings agency, the whole thing about the score is huge. So it's another blow to their economy when you have two rating agencies downgrading their credit score. Standard & Poor's stripped them of the last one they had, as I mentioned, dropping it by two grades from AAA to AA and warning more downgrades could follow. Fitch Ratings also tanked its ranking for England's creditworthiness by one notch. They said more cuts would follow. So let me give you some examples. The ratings agencies added a rubber stamp to the market's view, which is not good. So sterling dumped to a 31-year low against the U.S. dollar on Monday. Stock markets fell for a second trading day since the referendum last Thursday. Finance Minister George Osborne talked about the British economy and said it was strong enough to cope with the volatility caused by the referendum. But the vote has plunged the country into political crisis because they're looking for somebody new after Prime Minister David Cameron said he would stay on until October. So the Conservative Party is trying to find somebody. And there is the possibility of a new independence referendum in Scotland, which voted strongly to stay in the EU, and that threatens the constitutional and economic integrity of the UK. So follow that. And for you and I, if you ever were pushed bonds, Treasury yields fell to session lows after that S&P decision. So the British 10-year government borrowing costs have already fallen well below. And, you know, take it for what you will. It's what we knew would happen. Once you're downgraded, all of the dominoes start to fall into the pile. So it is dissolving, but voting in that direction, you had to know that this was what was going to happen, and this was what was warned. So this is it. This is what happens. And somebody said to me today, somebody wrote me an email, and it was Bob, who said, Kate, love the show, wondering what you really honestly think comes of Brexit. How does it really affect us as Americans? Obviously, we consider our relationship with the UK sacrosanct, so that's important. And but what else does it mean? Well, here's a silly thing, but not silly for people who go back and forth to the UK, and, you know, people take trips there. So they say about 1 in 10 visitors to England is American. The exchange rate for the dollar is better for Americans in the wake of Brexit. So that's one good thing. If you were thinking of going there, check that out. Then the talk is flying in and out of the UK would be more expensive in the long run, but technically in the beginning it's going to be cheaper. There are a lot of Americans who work in London. I actually know two people that work there. So the U.S. banks are going to have to decide on moving thousands of jobs to other European cities, which means the Irish could benefit. Dublin, Paris, Frankfurt, that could be one of the places where that happens. In fact, J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon said that though the company is going to still have a presence in Britain, it would face some hurdles. So they might need to make changes. He's pretty much telling them, listen, keep your flats for now, but be ready to roller skate out of there. That's most definitely what's going to happen. And then the 401ks. So half of America's full-time employees have a company 401k. The UK parachuting out of the EU has hit our market prices, and it could trigger a recession. So that exposes Americans to market turmoil. And that results in losing money in your portfolio. And that's significant. If your whole life you've worked, and we know it's a craps game, but when you're there on a high note and then you lose 20, 30, 40,000, that's a blow. And I think some people are going to find themselves, unfortunately, in that situation. It's tricky. You know, will it bounce back? Yeah, I think it bounces back, but how far does it tank? And, you know, specifically what's in jeopardy? And investments in global stock markets expose you to losing a lot of value. And a lot of people are exposed in that way. So there you go. All right, I mentioned Elizabeth Warren out on the campaign trail with Hillary Clinton. There is speculation. She is on the short list of consideration for becoming the VP. Would that be something to take someone like Elizabeth Warren and put her in there with Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
See, she wanted to jump right on me. I say it's doubtful, but here's what Elizabeth Warren had to say about Trump.
Hillary Clinton will be the next president of the United States because she knows what it takes to beat a thin-skinned bully who is driven by greed and hate.
So there you go. Driven by greed and by hate. They've had an interesting relationship at times, but on Monday they certainly were pals, and Clinton has gotten a little bit better at the podium. I know a lot of people are grading her. She seems to have gained over Donald Trump in the polls. There's no question about that. And, you know, one of the biggest cheers she got was when she mentioned Donald Trump right there. And she used a phrase at the tail end of it where she calls him a small, insecure money grubber. The thin skin comment, that kind of stuff. She said, Donald Trump says he'll make America great again. It's right there. It's stamped on the front of his goofy hat. She said at one point, you want to see Goofy? Look at him under that hat. So right now, she has a bump in the polls, and she's winning the war head-to-head. But these are just polls, and it's hard to say as we get closer to the conventions, things will flip a little bit, because that's, you know, what always happens. If we look at history, no matter what, you know, that's what we see. We start to see flips as it gets a little bit closer. All right, as we zig and zag in a couple of different directions, let me set the table for you a little bit more. Coming up at the tail end of the show, true or false? Plus, hey, I'm giving out more of those one world way packets. You know, I talk about taking it and how much of a bump I get out of it, meaning it's protein. That's sometimes where I get hit, where I'm running around and I need something. And that protein mixed with that seed oil is what really helped kick this whole throat thing. I've already had a bunch of you that have asked me about it, and I've put you on a list. One of them, Steve Little, he sent in something about, hey, send me some One World Way. I want to try it. I want to be there. And he listens to the show. So Steve-O in Iowa, thanks for that. We are shooting you those packets. In fact, they left the teeny tiny ship at our satellite facility just today. So how about that? I mentioned this briefly, but it's significant. The Supreme Court knocked down the Texas abortion clinic regulations. So there was big reaction in Texas to it. There's conversation, which is why I brought it up, as to whether or not we would see this be discussed on the campaign trail. Well, you know, it's always hanging out there, but it hasn't been the overwhelming topic this time around. More straight immigration has been bigger. Obviously, what's happening monetarily. Also, security has been much bigger, but it's always in the background. And, of course, the Supreme Court had its strongest defense of abortion rights in a quarter of a century, striking down the Texas rules that sharply reduce abortion clinics in the second most populous state. The vote was 5-3. They rejected the state's arguments that its 2013 law and follow-up regulations were needed to protect women's health. Justice Stephen Breyer's majority opinion for the court held that the regulations are medically unnecessary and unconstitutional in the right to abortions. All right, hang with us. We're taking an emergency room next.
Dr. Joel Wallach is not your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Dr. Wallach asked, why does America spend more money on healthcare by far and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? The doctor believes that people should be empowered with a basic understanding of nutrition, then take charge of their life to attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects, requiring more toxic prescription drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies, to our own destruction no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit GCNminerals.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join the GCN Minerals team. Go to GCNminerals.com. That's GCNminerals.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. If you've just made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has over 85 years of experience exterminating invaders like you. And right now, they're making it easier than ever for homes to be protected by offering a free pest estimate to every caller at 1-800-676-1468. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. This is your eviction notice. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will protect that home with a 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee, so you can never return. Warning, homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate at 1-800-676-1468. 1-800-676-1468.
Limitations apply. See plan for details.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
The death of an icon, Muhammad Ali, the amazing impact he had on boxing, civil rights, in and out of the ring. He was something, that's for sure. Right now, emergency physician Kevin Hasselhorst joins us, and he's written an interesting book called Wishes to Die For. You can get a free PDF download. We'll tell you how. And we're talking about end of life, dying with dignity. There's a lot of misconceptions about what happened with Muhammad Ali. We know that he suffered for years with Parkinson's, no question about that. But what was it like in his final days? Hey, Doc, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Good evening, Kate. Nice to be with you.
So, first of all, I think a lot of people don't know that. Rip the cover off that for us. What were the final days like for the champ?
Well, we knew he was in the hospital for about 48 hours, and I do live in Phoenix, but I did not care for him, and I'm not at that facility. So, you know, most of it, you can put the pieces of the puzzle together just by the messages that the Associated Press had sort of released regarding his being in septic shock and having, these frequent urinary tract infections and then sort of succumbing to the urinary tract infection that ultimately took his life. But, you know, he was also admitted to the intensive care unit and received primarily advanced care for somebody who was pretty much at the end stage of life. And there's a big question in my mind, and I think in a lot of people's mind, as to, you know, why did he even have to die in the hospital if we, the average person, could see him in the media and realize he wasn't long for this world And yet, the doctors in the emergency room didn't seem to recognize that when he came in. You know, there was sort of an intention to put him in the intensive care unit and to try to prolong his life to a degree that most people are challenged by, in retrospect.
Yeah, and so the question becomes the doctor's communicating with the family. What does the family want? What does the doctor say? Is it just human nature, Doc, for us to just ignore what's right in front of our face and desperately want the person to stay with us longer? What's the doctor's role in all of this?
That's an interesting dilemma. Who takes the responsibility? Who's like the referee when somebody's down for the count and that person's getting beat up? Who says that, let's call it, you know, back away, let this man be comfortable and not be assaulted at the end of life? And, you know, I'm very dramatic about this, but I don't think we're getting the message about what people endure in their final hours. And, you know, again, is it up to the person themselves? Is it up to the doctor to make these decisions? I personally feel like the person has the first right of refusal to say, I don't want to die that way. If the person isn't able to make those decisions, I think the doctor should be able to say, look, we're not going to be able to offer you hope in this situation, given how your health is already compromised. The expectation that somehow we can make you better is beyond the realm of reality.
Yeah, and do you think this is a discussion, and people don't want to do this either, that we should all have while we're feeling healthy, if we're lucky, and have that conversation with our families?
I think in the midlife, you should have some sense that when you're over the hill, you have a panoramic view of what life has to offer you. And you sort of say at some point, you know, I'm going to cut my losses, and I'm going to take what I got, and I'm going to declare a win and say, you know, I don't have to keep proving myself. That at some point we should all experience this sense of graduation that says, when it's my time, I want to be done with this part of my, you know, proving myself or trying to better myself and just be at peace and being carefree with what life sort of gave me.
Yeah, and have you seen the other side of that when people have done that, and is it much better?
Oh, totally. It is so empowering to see people make these decisions for themselves. It is humiliating for a person to come in the emergency room and be told, sorry, there's nothing more we can do. I'm surprised somebody didn't tell you this already, that maybe, you know, you might have not shown up in the emergency room anymore, given that your heart is at end-stage disease or your lungs are, your kidneys are failing. You know, it's a sense of, you know, it's different if you're 45, but when you're 85, we have to get real that these people need to be respected and not over inundated with this obligation to have to do more.
Yeah. What do you think, I mean, how do we turn the wheel on that? Because, you know, as you say that, a lot of people may be nodding their heads listening to this conversation saying, oh, he is right. Yeah. Yeah, we need to do that, because don't you remember how Uncle so-and-so died, or what we did in Mom's case, or what it might be?
Look at Nelson Mandela. 6 months on a vent before he was allowed to die.
Wow.
Ariel Sharon, the prime minister in Israel, 8 years on a ventilator before he was allowed to die. These things are unconscionable. And, you know, we always keep saying, the media says, we were going to talk about Pat Summit, you know, the family always says, can we respect the privacy of this? Does it fit this family matter? And I'm like, what are people ashamed about? Why do we keep providing the same message that we're not supposed to talk about it? That let's just sort of go about our business. We have the information, but let's not really, you know, sort of determine whether this is a good death or a bad death. And let's just keep it under wraps.
Yeah. Yeah, boy. So
go ahead.
I agree with you. It's so interesting. And I wonder, and you know, you're a doctor and there you are in an emergency room, and you know, you can go up and down in the hospital and you can look at each case. And I know that there's cases where you see that people come to the right agreement and the family agrees and somebody dies at home or with their loved ones all around them, and others just lapse into that horrible state, right?
Yeah, you know, they say if you can walk through any intensive care unit in the country, 25% of those people should be at home while receiving palliative care and not our hospice care and not in the intensive care unit. Nobody had the decency to have a conversation with them or to get real with them about what they are up against. And I tell people all the time, you may have a bad heart, but you don't deserve to be treated this way.
Yeah, boy, that's a good way to put that. How do your colleagues feel? You probably get pushback from some, and probably some agree, right?
Well, I think they're scared for me because they always think about the litigation factor, because that's always the defense mechanism that says, well, I'm afraid to do that because I might get sued. Families are yearning to have these conversations. I'm not going to get sued if I'm talking up front with families about what they're up against. I'm not going out on a limb and making the decisions by myself. I'm either enrolling the patient or I'm enrolling the family. And they are so delighted that somebody actually came out and told them what shined a light on the subject matter that they knew already, but they were afraid to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And so go ahead.
Well, I was, I think this whole notion of emergency room doctor being the gateway to end of life care. People die in the hospital because they go through the emergency room. Myself, you know, I don't really have a long-term, long-standing relationship with these patients. I can pretty much be upfront with them, and I'm not going to, it doesn't really affect my status with them because I don't have to be afraid of hurting their feelings. You know, it's almost like an impersonal relationship I have with them. It's actually a very privileged relationship because I think I know people share a lot through the emergency room because they're in crisis mode. They want you to really get them because you're usually the situation's unmanageable, and they really desperately want somebody to try to understand or to talk to them. And for me, it's like, this is very familiar territory. I've had these conversations before. And, you know, my book pretty much talks about many different aspects of what the introspection that's required for people to think about this stuff before they are drawn into these conversations.
Yeah, boy, and that's the stuff that you want to think about. What are the three questions, or what are a couple of the questions you have to ask yourself about where you are and whether it would be better not to get some ridiculous treatment?
Well, the decision, there are actually five factors, I would say. What's your medical condition? What's the medical prognosis? What's your quality of life? What are your wishes? And what does good conscience tell you? And when you sort of sort through the whole thing, you realize that some of that's incongruent, because if you've got end-stage cancer and you want to be, you know, resuscitated, that doesn't make sense. You're bound to be in the intensive care unit with a horrific decision for your family to make regarding when they stop the life support. Just like, you know, Nelson Mandela when he had respiratory failure. That was kind of like he should have never been put on a ventilator to begin with. He was 90-something years old. What did he deserve to have to be put on a ventilator at that age? What still did he have to prove?
Yeah, wow, what a great way to look at that. All right, so if somebody wants to get the free PDF that you have, the download, where can they get that?
Well, it's on my website, Kevin Hazelhorst, HASELHORST.com, KevinHazelhorst.com.
And Doc, we can get your I was going to ask you. And the book, Doc, can get on Amazon.
Yeah, Wishes to Die For, and of course my title is on there. So if you didn't get the my name, it's certainly on the Amazon listing for my book, Wishes to Die For. And again, it's an introspective guide for people to really get their heart and soul into this topic, because the end of life is not a medical condition; it's a spiritual journey. And you need to look at it from a whole different perspective than we've been given so far.
Yeah, good stuff, Doc. Thanks. I know you're there now in the emergency room. We appreciate you taking the time. And
hey, thanks so much.
And we'll look to have you back on again. Just great stuff. Dr. Kevin Hazelhorst, as he said, his book is Wishes to Die For, a tough question for a lot of families, but he's right. Look what he sees when he's coming, when they're coming in through the emergency room, and how, as he mentions, he can be very frank with people. Stay with us. We're going to be frank with another edition of True or False on the flip side.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3. Congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand, with an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands. Well, just because a record has a groove don't make it in the groove, but you can tell right away if that's A when the people start to move.
Coming up, true or false, Patrick Eggdorf, our technical director, joins us. But first, we have an announcement here on America Tonight. We are welcoming a new affiliate, WDXZ, in Robertsdale, Alabama. Woo! Yes. Taking the whole show. Thanks, Noah Britt. Yep. Got a lot of fans in Alabama. I've enjoyed my time where I've gone to Alabama and Mississippi and the Gulf Coast and whatnot. And we definitely welcome WDXZ aboard. So on that note, let's turn to another edition of True or False with young Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Kate. How's it going?
I like that I call you young. What if he said old Patrick is with us right now? Old Patrick. When you're young, it doesn't matter if someone says young. I mean, not necessarily. But if you're older, people bristle at that. Even though with age comes wisdom, right?
Oh, you would assume.
I like that you would assume. Cautiously, he says, you would assume. That's true. You would assume that would happen. All right, so true or false, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, says he saw a UFO in perfect time to celebrate Independence Day resurgence at the movie theaters.
I'm going to say true.
It is true. Good memory. We talked about this a while ago, and it's kind of bubbling back up. It was a few years ago, and he was doing an interview with somebody. It was back in 2005. And recently he was doing an interview with somebody about football and his girlfriend and his life. And one of the things that came up was about this UFO deal. And here's what I say about this, and I believe him, because he wasn't saying, it wasn't like this crazy conspiracy thing, the way he described it. Just, you know, my brother was there, my buddy from college was there, and, you know, college teammate. And we saw this orange thing go back and forth. Then we heard fighter jets, what sounded like fighter jets, and alarms go off. And he said, you know, it was what it was. So I mean, who knows what if it really was a UFO, of course. But good for him for saying that it was odd. It kind of freaked him out. And, you know, describing what he saw. And this was in New Jersey, New York area is where he was when he saw it. And there have been other people that have described that. And certainly I know some of you listening to the show, there's another show that's on late at night, and they talk a lot about flying objects and whatnot. And we've had people on to talk about it. And there is some unexplained phenomenon. You know, even Ellen Ratner from Talk Media News, our pal, who couldn't be, is probably the biggest Democrat that calls the show, actually, in terms of somebody who's way on the liberal end of the spectrum and just says it like she says it. And so in other words, I respect that she doesn't have a filter. You get the real Ellen. And one of the things she said one time on the show, wasn't too long ago, that Bill Clinton, because she covered the White House for all these years, Bill Clinton wanted to Area 51 when he became president. He just said, hey, what about Area 51? And they said, no, uh-uh. So that's kind of odd, right? No, you can't see Area 51. It just kind of, you know, gives you pause. How about this one, Patrick? Is it true that a man threw water at the Olympic torch?
I'm going to say true.
Yes. It is true. What kind of nut throws water at an Olympic torch? They have enough problems with what's happening in Rio, but here's what happened. It was a bucket of water, actually, and the torch, you know, is sacrosanct. That travels all around, and, oh, it's being filmed, and it's a big deal. Video was posted to social media, and it showed he was standing on the sidewalk when he threw the bucket of water towards the torch. Of course, was arrested after running. So, even stupidly posted a photo. Huh, who do you think this is? And they say he could get some jail time for this, 6 months, maybe even 3 years in prison. I hope the prank was worth it. If he thought it was funny and he was going to get all this attention, he may get all that attention in prison as well. And so what happened is, luckily there were people that were watching as that water came flying, and he just saw his moment. It was Sunday, and he was, you know, in the path of where the torch was headed, and someone, I guess, had dared him to do it. Someone dared him to throw water. Don't always take the dare that your friends suggest that you should do. Come on, you be the one. Throw the water. You can do it. You can do it. Just think of all the attention you'll get. And so, sure enough, that's what happened in this Brazilian city in the southwest part of the state. And he missed. He missed enough that it didn't clobber it. But it certainly could have been a different story that we were talking about here on the air if he had doused it. I mean, would they relight it? Of course they'd relight it. But what a bummer when they're so protective of that whole idea of the torch. It symbolizes the old games and all of that. I'm just saying. All right, is it true that Flea, a.k.a. F. Lee Bailey, part of the dream team for O.J. Simpson, had to file for divorce? True or false?
I'm going to say true for that one as well.
True. Are you looking these up?
I swear I'm not.
You swear. All right, Flea was actually a guest on our show about a year ago, and he still proclaims that O.J. Simpson is innocent. He talks about that. But he was a famous defense attorney, certainly known for the being part of that team. But he was in a lot of sensational cases. He represented Patty Hearst, and that may be another one of his more famous clients. And apparently, he had to file for bankruptcy. Well, I mean, first I'll re-rack this for a second. He got famous in the 60s. When he convinced the Supreme Court to set aside the murder conviction of a Cleveland doctor, Sam Shepard, who was found innocent in a retrial, the case actually inspired the TV show The Fugitive. And he defended, you know, Patty Hearst, I mentioned, the Boston Strangler killings, Albert DeSalvo, and the list goes on of infamous people that he defended. Now, here's what happened. He also represented Claude Debach, who was accused in 94 of importing giant amounts of pot into the U.S. And he said he was paid by Debach in shares of Canadian pharmaceutical company. It was an arrangement they had made, the U.S. government approved, and then rejected after the price of the stock more than quadrupled. The U.S. argued that Bailey was acting as its trustee and reclaimed the money. So F. Lee Bailey says they demanded it back for one reason. They were afraid they would look foolish for allowing a defense lawyer to take a fee that pegged out at $20 million. So Bailey said he spent time in jail for resisting the government claims. He's been locked in a battle with the IRS for 22 years over the money, and he was disbarred as a result of the case. See, people forget that. That was just a crazy, crazy, that was a crazy thing that happened there. And like I said, he was a guest on this show. We talked to him. I've talked to him actually three times. And when you ask him about Simpson, he is just adamant about the Simpson deal. If there's a lawyer that walked away from that that thought he was guilty, it's definitely not F. Lee Bailey. Wow, true or false went by way too fast. True or false, this segment's over when the music starts to play, Patrick.
That's right.
It's true. Wow, where does the time go? Hey, thanks so much for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective, clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.